Good evening, everybody.
Evening.
Beautiful evening, huh? A little warmer than normal, but still, nonetheless, a great evening. All righty. Okay, well, I'm going to try and get what I've been working on here for the last several messages completed tonight. We'll see if I'm successful. But we want to go in the Old Testament to Micah chapter 6. We've been working on two passages that deal with the statement in the Old Testament that says, what does the Lord require of you? So I've been working on that. That's out of Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. And then it's mentioned, that terminology, that phraseology is mentioned again in Micah chapter 6. Okay? And so we're going to look at that tonight, and we'll look at two of the things primarily that are mentioned in that verse that we haven't really covered that are referenced in another. Well, let me just read the verse and we'll go over it and get a prayer in here and get going. But then I'll give you some more remarks. All right. Micah chapter 6. And I'm going to get a little bit of context here to get to the verse that really states what does the Lord require of you. We're going to begin in verse 6, but verse 8 is where we're going to be working out of tonight. With what shall I come to the Lord, to Yahweh, and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to Him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does Yahweh or the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Let's go to our God. Great God, Lord Jesus Christ, you are the great Redeemer. You are the great Creator. You are the one who has promised us an eternity that's beyond the realm of what we can truly describe and appreciate. It's going to be incredible and awesome in every facet and every manner. So we praise you that you loved us enough, Lord, that in your plan that was set forth before the foundation of the very earth, to demonstrate to the angels who rebelled against you, you would bring forth a people through your word, primarily the recording of your message to mankind, through your servants, the prophets, and others. Lord, you preserved that word, brought it down through the ages. It has arrived to us today, and it is there so that we now can proclaim your excellencies, your marvelous light, to help bring people out of darkness into your light. You have done this as your servant, the Apostle Paul, penned in his first letter to Timothy. You are the King eternal, the King immortal, the King invisible. You did this without showing yourself to mankind and without speaking to us in a direct manner as you did to the prophets in the past. You now speak to us through your word. Lord Jesus, we have confidence that what we have received is your word and it is truth. So we're grateful for that. Thankful that we can flee to it to answer any question that we have. Search for the principles by which we can govern our lives. And know with full assurance and confidence the promises you have made. You will honor, because you have a record you've set of carrying through on everything that you've had prophesied concerning you and your kingdom. So we are grateful for those blessings, for those rewards yet to come, for those who should be faithful and remain faithful to you. Lord, I just pray that the message tonight would be encouraging to my brothers and sisters in Christ, that it would be designed to edify them, to build them up, and that it would ultimately be designed as well to equip them for the work of service which you've entrusted to us, your people. May you be honored and glorified in this message. And I ask all this through Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Okay, Micah 6. Like I said, there's Well, I'll give you a little background on Micah. Micah is, who is what God is? Okay, that's basically what his name means. Who is what God is? You can find that statement, similar to that in Micah 7. But Micah's working as a contemporary with the prophet Isaiah in Judah. You guys know that Judah, the two tribes that were associated with Judah, primarily Judah and Benjamin, parts of the tribe of Simeon, resided in the southern kingdom around Jerusalem in the area of Judah. The northern kingdom was the 10 tribes, and it had names called Israel, Samaria, Ephraim. Okay? So this is the time frame of about, we're going to say about 755 round numbers that he's going to be operating, 752 really, BC until about 697 BC. So he's operating for 55 years as a prophet in Judah with Isaiah. So we have Isaiah as a messianic prophet, he's called. And then we got Micah, and you're going to see that he is the one that God gives the great blessing to of pronouncing the very place where the Messiah would be born. In Micah 5, verse 2, right? Bethlehem, you're the small ones in the clan, right? Among Judah. From you shall come forth one, whose going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. He prophesies the coming of the Christ. And then you can see where Micah and Isaiah have very, very similar language. Isaiah is a much larger book, much more information communicated by Isaiah than Micah. But they have similar information that they communicate. Okay? So Micah, though, is working with the people. Micah's the guy like Brother Jared mentioned in his Lord's Supper meditation. He's down here with the people. Isaiah has connections to the powerful. So the two are working in tandem, you know, jabbing them with the words of the Lord, trying to get them to get straightened out. Because they're going to witness the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel for their idolatry, their unfaithfulness to him. Okay, they're going to get to witness that. Micah in particular witnesses that because his his work, and you get his time frame, by the way, brethren, by just reading Micah 1, the first two verses. He tells you which kings he served under. You get a good kind of a map or chart from a good study Bible, and you'll see where the dates are for those guys, and you can easily figure out when Micah was working in Judah, along with Isaiah. It's interesting. God usually sends out prophets two by two to work among the ancient nation of Israel and Judah. So here's Micah. He's working on the people. Isaiah's working on the powerful. He's in the courts of the powerful, the kings, the priests, whatever. Micah's down here with the people. And he's getting after them because, see, the whole nation of Judah has fallen into idolatry, fallen into the same trap that the northern nation of Israel has fallen into, about to be judged through the Assyrian armies that God's going to send to wipe them out and send them into the dustbin of history, the lost 10 tribes of Israel, right? And he's using Micah and Isaiah as a tandem, but he's going to give Micah some great information here in chapter 6. And you can read Micah as a book. It'd probably take you, even if you're an average reader, 15 to 20 minutes to read through the book. And you'll get a picture of what's going on in Judah. A real good encapsulation, a summary view, if you want to say, from 35,000 feet, I say from the throne on high in heaven. You can see what's going on in the nation. But he charges Micah with some information here. He says, look, they're all messed up down there. They're doing all kinds of things. But what am I really after? So that's why I read the context here before, where he says, you're going to come to the Lord and bow yourself before God on high? You're going to bring them all your burnt offerings? All your yearling calves, your thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers. Oh, are you going to even offer up your firstborn for the sin of your soul? Are you going to do that? Is that what he wants? No. Remember, this place is just out of control, unjust, immoral. I mean, they got a horrible economic system. They got politicians on the take. I'm just kidding. Priests that'll tell the people whatever they want to hear. That's in chapter 3. Okay? Sound vaguely like America? Oh, yeah. Because just like you know, Solomon said, the preacher, book of Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun, brethren. Right. Mankind is the same. You know, we can go back 2,700 years ago, you know, to the time of Micah and Isaiah. It's the same today. The problems don't change. The problem is the people that have not recognized who's God. See? And then just said, what does he want? Really? So God boils it down through, you know, what he said to Moses in Deuteronomy 10 and what he says here to Micah. So tonight we want to talk about, he says, I want you to do justice, but I find this interesting. He says, but love kindness. Interesting. Now, Hosea has a statement, something like that, and so does Zechariah. I think it's Zechariah 7, if I remember right. Let's just flip over there real quick. Zechariah is the next to last book in the Old Testament. So if you can find the Gospel of Matthew, flip back two books, you'll get to Zechariah. It's chapter 7. Let me do a quick work. There it is. Okay, so in verse 8 of Zechariah chapter 7, it says, then the word of the Lord, Yahweh, came to Zechariah saying, thus has Yahweh of hosts, Lord of hosts, said, dispense true justice, practice kindness and compassion, each to his brother. That dispense true justice, you know what it is? Same form of the word here. It says do justice in Micah. So we want to talk about what does it mean to do justice? I mean, we all know what it means. Well, here's what it, really easy, to do justice according to God. It's to render a divine judgment according to what God has to say. It's that simple. So what do I do? The Lord says, here's what I say. All you got to do. Now this to the Old Testament individual, right? Just do what I say. I've rendered divine judgment. Do what I say. It's that simple. Just do what I say. But it's not that simple, is it? Because you got all kinds of craziness going on in a land that has received direct revelation from the prophets of God throughout the years. They had Moses. You know, who is this Moses, right? You can just hear Pharaoh. He knew who he was, by the way. According to the Old Testament, I mean, I think they grew up together, all right? But anyway, so justice rendered divine judgment. That's really what it comes down to. It's divine law, the decree from the law. Pretty simple. What does God require? He's got all kinds of stuff in there in the law, doesn't he? Well, we got to do justice before him, before our brethren. And he also protected their fellow man, the Gentiles. You go back and read, man. Everybody was supposed to be treated pretty much the same. Pretty easy. Regardless of their religious, racial, or economic standing in life. It's all anybody really wants, right? I just want to get a fair hearing. And we know if you go into the courts of America today, we get a fair hearing, don't we? Well, maybe we could have a discussion on that. You know, I personally say it isn't a matter whether you're white, black, brown, whatever, pick the color. I think it's whether you got dinero on whether you're really going to get justice. That's my opinion. And if you look at the Old Testament, that's exactly what was going on. For a price. For a price. For a price. See? So it's always about that. So we need to dispense true justice. The Old Testament God says, no matter who it is, everybody gets the same rendering of what I want done. There should be no differences. I am a God that's constant and consistent. I am not a God of confusion. It's simple. It's simple. Now, we're not under the law. I'm not trying to say we go back to the law of Moses. I'm just saying, what does the Lord require? You do justice. Well, what's justice today? What's justice today? That's a lot that we could talk about in reference to the New Testament. The New Testament word that would most closely, Greek word that would most closely correspond to this Hebrew word, which is mishpat. The Greek word would be like, almost, you could almost pronounce it like crisis, but it'd be krisis. All right? It's the same thing. Basic same meaning. All right? But this has been, you know, before we talk about justice in the New Testament, This has been something God's been concerned about, this justice, this kindness, this righteousness, that he's been concerned about way back when it had to do with Abraham. Turn back in the book of Genesis, if you would. Excuse me. And I want to go to about Genesis. I think we're going to go about Genesis 18. First book of the Bible. Chapter 18. This is when the Lord shows up with a couple of angels in the flesh, talks to Abraham, says, "Hey, we're gonna smoke Sodom and Gomorrah." You know, okay, got it. So God has a little conversation here, and so he's kind of talking, looks like to the angels, and maybe even a little bit to himself, you might say. But let's go to Genesis 18, verse 16. Then the men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom. Let's see. Okay, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. And the Lord, Yahweh, said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation," that was one of his promises he made to him, right? "And in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed." Verse 19, he says, "For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, Yahweh, by doing righteousness and justice. In order that the Lord, Yahweh, may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." This is before the law of Moses is given. This is just principles. Righteousness is always going to be based in God, because he's the one that's righteous and right. And then just execute justice with people. Be fair. All right? It's been his plan. It's the foundational concept of Yahweh's throne, Lord's throne. You can read that. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to give you some passages. Psalms 89:14 is that. Okay? Isaiah 9 we're very familiar about. Again, a contemporary of Micah working among the people. Let's turn to Isaiah. We know Isaiah 9 because this is the prophecy about the child that will be born to us, a son will be given to us that everybody sings about during December of the year, right? And the government will rest on his shoulders, it says in verse 6. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father. Remember, this is the Messiah, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with what? Justice and righteousness. From then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, Yahweh of hosts, will accomplish this. Justice, righteousness. That's what it's all about. All right, I'm going to skip a bunch of stuff. Well, obviously, the justice that we just read about, it's going to be part of the throne, as Psalms talks about, but it's the Messiah's justice that matters. See? So Jesus comes and he takes the law and he says, "Okay, you have heard it said to the ancients, you know, do this, but I say to you," and he goes, and he just clicks up the old bar, the standard. And he goes, this is what you got to do now for justice. You know, now you can either look at that like, how am I going to do that? Or you can look at that, hold on, he's going to give me the tools to attain that. He's going to give me the means by which to do that. Oh, it's called faith. Faith in Christ, the faith of Christ. I can do that, just like he did it. I can walk with justice and righteousness. I can follow in his pattern. I can imitate. And then I can project that to people around me. See, so just like with Adam, with Abraham, he says, this is what my intention was, justice and righteousness from the very beginning. That's what he wants with his people, always has been. So what does God require of you? Start with Abraham, the father of the faithful, right? Hey, I just want you to do justice. That's the first thing he said, just do justice. Oh, and now love, kindness. Again, I don't know about you guys, but I find that interesting. Love, kindness. Not do kindness, love, kindness. And again, that Hebrew word there for love, kindness, is exactly what it would mean. Affection for it. Have an affection for kindness. For mercy. That word is hased in the Hebrew, in case you want to look it up. I don't have the Strong's number for you, but that's what it is. Okay, let me just give you some information on this word. It can mean like piety or loyalty to God. Okay, it can be translated that way. The kindness here is with the aspect of mercy involved to others. Remember, Jesus said, you must be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. But in a parallel gospel, he says you must be merciful like your Father in heaven is merciful. You must exhibit kindness. You must love to do this. See? Kindness. Which means there's an aspect of mercy involved in this. There's tons of passages in the Old Testament with this word. I just don't have the time to go through all of them. But I do want to, a lot of times it's translated as, we see it in the Old Testament as loving kindness. So you can kind of see that love joined together with kindness, with that mercy, all right? And there's tons of passages that have that word in it. I don't have the time to go through all of them. I do want to take a look at some of them from Proverbs 3, because Proverbs is the practical book. Remember, Micah says, what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, love kindness. So you're saying, okay, Kevin, that sounds really simple. How do I do it? What does this look like? Well, Proverbs is going to help you, okay? So we want to go to start with Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll jump through a few chapters here. We'll go Proverbs 3, Proverbs 19, 22, and then part of the description of an excellent wife who can find. For the ladies, that'll be for you. Okay, Proverbs 3. This is in general to everybody that's going to be, you know, I'll just say influenced by the Word of God. Okay? In chapter 3 of Proverbs, he starts out saying, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. That's true. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. He wants this thing to be driven internally, doesn't he? No external formalism. It becomes something internal. That's why he says to love kindness. That's why this has got to come from within. See, you got to love this. You got to want to do this because he's the demonstration of it. Over to Proverbs chapter 19, like I said, we're going to go to about verse 22. Proverbs 19, verse 22 says, what is desirable in a man is his kindness. Now, some of you will have a mark in your Bible. There might be an asterisk, a margin note. It'll say loyalty. Remember I was telling you it has the idea of communicating piety or loyalty to God? You know? But what is desirable in a man? His kindness. An excellent wife. Who can find? Right? Scripture does ask that question. And an excellent wife is from the Lord, by the way. All right, 31, 26. Ladies, you should read this at least once a month just to see what the Lord thinks of you. This is you. He's talking to you. This is you. All right. I'm going to begin in verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land because of her. People know her husband because of her. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. And she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Pretty important. You cherish kindness from others? Is that what you want? Especially when maybe you didn't do everything perfect. You cherish that kindness? Is that what you want? Would you like somebody to love kindness so that maybe when things aren't going so great, they're willing to extend it to you? Do you want somebody to nurse or hold a grudge against you for something, or would you rather experience their kindness? You know, in the power of the tongue, life or death, the scripture says, right? You want kindness? You know, quiet, gentle spirit, the Lord says about the ladies. Doesn't mean you don't have a right to pipe up and speak your piece. But a quiet and gentle spirit. Kindness. The teaching of kindness is on our tongue. Kindness turns away wrath, it says in the Proverbs. Okay? You want those kind of people? Those are kind of forgive and restore relationships. That's exactly what God is all about. He wanted to forgive and restore relationship, didn't he? See? So this is really important. You got to love this. What's the job of the church? We're in the ministry of the reconciliation, right? We've been entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation between God and man. If we don't love kindness, if we don't love mercy, what are we going to do with the scripture? You know you're going to hell if you don't do it, right? Oh, everybody loves to listen to that kind of kindness, don't they? Right? Rather than, hey, I know you got questions. Is this God thing real? Is the Bible trustworthy? I mean, you know, hey, those are legitimate questions. I had them. Everybody's got them. By the way, God knew you'd have them. Let me read you a couple passages from the prophet Isaiah, right? We show people. He says, hey, you want to know if it's really the word of God? Well, here, check and see if the guy that claims to be speaking for God or claims he knows this God has a written record of past history and got everything right. Oh, and by the way, did he prophesy about things to come and bring it about? Micah, I'll tell you where the Messiah is going to be born. Bethlehem. You among the smallest clans of Judah. You. That's the one whose goings forth are from long ago. That's where the Messiah is going to be. That's prophecy. Okay, we can easily prove that was written at the time it was written. So that when Christ was born there, bing. Remember, not one good thing the Lord has ever spoken in reference to prophecy, literal in the Hebrew, has ever, boom, fallen to the ground. Everything he's promised been executed 100%. But again, what's his plan? I want to forgive. I want to restore. I want to forgive. I want to restore. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit? It's kindness. What's the things that we're told to put on in the third chapter of Colossians? Kindness is one of them. These are things we want to put on, become part of our internal being. All right? All righty. Titus. There's more I'd like to go through, but we don't have time. So I just want to. Titus. Right before the book of Hebrews. I'm thinking of Romans 2. You know, it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. All these things. I mean, you can lead somebody to repentance. It's kindness, concern, compassion, mercy. Right? Titus chapter 3. Talking to the brothers and sisters, to the evangelist Titus, where he's working in Crete. Remind them, he says to Titus, to be subject to rulers. Are we supposed to be subject to rulers and to authorities? Yeah, we're supposed to be obedient. Is that fun right now? In us freedom-loving Americans? Right? To be ready for every good deed. Hey man, we're supposed to be subject to them. I will be. As long as they're operating constitutionally. No, right? I mean, they violated the Constitution a long time ago, you know. Right? That's why Jay Leno made the joke, we might as well sell it to somebody else because we're not using it. Okay? So, look, we need to be ready for every good deed. To malign no one. To be uncontentious, gentle. Showing every consideration for all men. It sounds like kindness, doesn't it? For we once also were foolish ourselves. Disobedient, deceived. That's a hard one to admit, isn't it? I was deceived. Enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared. So who is the kindness of God? Christ Jesus. So if we're going to be involved in saving people's souls, and we are entrusted with that, brothers and sisters, amen? Sure. Okay, kindness. Kindness. I know for many of this is pretty straightforward stuff tonight, but always good to hear it again, right? Because the way you take a culture and a people down is you divide them. And that's exactly what's going on in this culture of our country. We are being divided. And the only way that a people can be united according to the Scripture of God is in Christ Jesus. He'll take down that dividing wall of enmity, and He'll make the two who were at once at odds reconcile them to God and then to selves, right? And He'll make them one body. See, this is important stuff. Do justice. Be fair to people in your everyday life. And understand kindness, love, kindness. This is something God says has to come from within. Just has to. Okay? So I appreciate you guys paying attention tonight. So that's, you know, the part that I wanted to get through in those passages out of Deuteronomy, or those verses out of Deuteronomy, and this one out of Micah, about what does God require? Okay? So let's remember what we've had the opportunity to look at in those verses, and I'm not going to do a review. Just go back and check them out. But tonight, justice, kindness. And the big thing, love, kindness. Justice can be executed pretty easily. Love, kindness. Amen? All right, let's close with a prayer. Great God, we thank You for the opportunity to be together, for the freedoms that we enjoy in this land, to be able to come together, sharing time together to study Your Word, to be encouraged by it, to be equipped for the work of service. I'm just so grateful again, Father, that You've entrusted to us an eternal purpose, one that gives the gift that is the most incredible gift that anyone can ever be given, and that's the gift of a changed eternity, one that will dwell forever with You. You are real. We know You're real. It says that faith is part of that faith definition in the Scripture involves that we come to know that You are, that You exist, and that You are a rewarder of those who seek You. So again, we're grateful that the Word has confirmed all the prophetic utterances that have come forth, that they have been executed. And really the only thing left to happen now is the resolution phase of Your plan, and that's to bring about all those interested in the truth, to bring them into Your kingdom. Because the last final event that really awaits us now is J-Day, Your final judgment, Lord. So our job is to get out there and save. We know You'll execute the justice. Help us to be just in our everyday interactions with people. But help us more than anything else, Lord, to really love kindness and mercy, understanding on a personal level You have extended it to us in Christ Jesus. So thankful again to be able to just share a few moments with the brothers and sisters, share some thoughts from Your Word, and be able to encourage us as we prepare to go forward into another week as we serve You with gladness of heart. Just thankful again for all that You have promised us in Christ Jesus. I ask that You would accept our thanksgiving, Lord, as we offer it up through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.